Yeah, so Jason stole a little bit of my thunder this morning. I was hoping to be the first one to wish y'all Merry Christmas. I seem to have gotten the reputation of being a Scrooge and not liking Christmas. That's nowhere near the case. I love the Christmas season, just in the Christmas season, right? There's a time and a place to celebrate Christmas, and that is after Thanksgiving, Heritage. Yes, it is. It's all right. We can agree to disagree. You can be wrong. It's okay. But it is officially the first Sunday after Thanksgiving, so it is officially the first Sunday that is appropriate to say Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I do love the Christmas season. It is a joy. Let's see. I think I started listening to Christmas music on the way on Friday, driving from Canyon to Amarillo. I had Christmas music playing, and that's all I've listened to. So I promise you, I do love Christmas. But anyways, I digress. It is a joy to me to be able to come and introduce kind of this Advent season for us this morning. I don't know how many of you have ever celebrated the season of Advent in the midst of the season of Christmas. Christmas has become such a commercialized thing that I think that our culture has taken over, and sometimes we miss the point of the season of Christmas. And so one of the things that the church throughout the ages has done is celebrate the season of Advent, which Jason, as Jason said, Advent is just a Latin word that means arrival. And so Advent is the season that we celebrate the arrival of Jesus. And so as we, as a church, this season, we are going to be celebrating Advent along with Christmas. And so we have Christmas trees and Christmas decorations, but we're going to talk about Advent. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about hope. There's three other weeks, and as Jason said, the fifth week will be, the fifth candle we will light on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But this morning, we're going to focus on this idea of hope. And so Jason read our scriptures for us this morning, or some of our scripture. We're going to go ahead and read that again. So if you have your Bible, open up to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verse 2 and then 6 and 7. And we'll read something in just a little bit as we celebrate not just the first advent of Jesus, because I think it's very important, obviously, to celebrate the first advent of Jesus. If Jesus had not been born, if Jesus had not come, then we would not be celebrating today, right? And so I think it's obviously very important for us to remember and celebrate the first coming of Christ. But something that I love, and as I've looked at and begun to understand the Advent season and what it means and what it is for us as people, as followers of Jesus, the first Advent points directly to the second. The first Advent brings us salvation. The second Advent brings us glory. And so we're going to look at both of those today. We're going to look at the first Advent and why, what that brought, and how the hope that brought to the people of Israel, but also to us. And then we'll look towards the second advent in a moment. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Then skipping to verse 6: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let us pray. Father, as we come this morning before you, as we have sung songs that are true about only you, God, as we look at this idea of hope that Jesus brought with him at his birth and then that he will bring with him again at his second coming, God, I pray that we would be able to wrap our minds around what this really means to us. God, that this season that has been overwhelmed by the commercialization and the toys and presents and those things, which none of that is necessarily bad, God, but let us pull back for just a moment and focus on the coming of Jesus and the hope that brings. God, open our eyes to what that really means and help that to change not just our hearts this season, but from this moment forward for the rest of our lives. Let us be different because of the hope that Jesus brings. So speak to us through your word. Speak to us through, God, just the Spirit moving in this place this morning. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the people of Israel had been waiting. They'd been waiting for a very long time. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, this is to me is one of the neat things about the Old Testament. The Bible is an entire story, right? One of the things that we believe is our children are going through this and our students are going through the Gospel Project. And they started in the book of Genesis. And we'll look through the book of Genesis through Revelation so that we can see the full story of God unfolding. And the Old Testament is all about God bringing his people to himself and showing them that they cannot save themselves. And so if you look at the Old Testament, if you haven't read the Old Testament in a while, I would encourage you to. In fact, I've heard a rumor one of our students is going to read the entire Bible soon. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to say, like in a few short weeks, right? I'm excited. That's going to be pretty neat. He's going to beat me if he does that. I don't think I've ever read it that fast, but I won't point any names out or anything, Jack. But, sorry. Now everyone knows. You'll have to do it. Just kidding. But if you read the Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament, it seems like the entire history of the nation of Israel can be described in the word wait. Abraham, when God called Abraham and he sent him to a place he didn't know, Abraham picked up and followed God and obeyed, and that was counted him as faith. And then God made a promise to Abraham that he would make a great nation out of him and his people, and he would bless the entire world. But Abraham and Sarah had no children. So they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they had faith, and finally God blessed them with a son, Isaac. And then if you continue to read in the book of Genesis, you see that the people of Israel, Abraham's descendants, they end up in the nation of Egypt. Our kids in the back are learning about Moses this morning, and they're going to walk through what that looks like. And so, the nation of Israel were slaves to the Egyptians for an extremely long time, and they were waiting on God to deliver them. And then God delivers them, and they go to the promised land, and they're almost there, and they can see it, and some of the people, they sent 12 spies in, and the spies could taste it. They went in, and they tasted of the goodness of the promised land, and when they went in, they loved it, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful, but there was a problem. There were people there already, and they were giants. And so the people of Israel were afraid, and so all but two of the spies said, we can't take the land. And so because of their lack of faith, God had the Israelites wander in the desert for 40 years waiting. And finally, after that generation had passed away, they were able to go into the promised land, but they still didn't possess the promised land. So they had to wait to possess it, and they had to go and follow and have faith in God and do what he called them to do and to trust that he would win battles for them, and they waited. And then all throughout the rest of the history of the people of Israel, we see this cycle of they would follow God really well for a while, and then they would chase after other gods, and God would send, he would send judgment on them, sometimes in the form of other nations coming and taking over. In our Connect group, we just walked through the book of Judges. It was a really cool study. If you've never studied the book of Judges, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you can get with your Connect group, or we have Right Now Media for the church. It's really neat. You can check out the study on there. That's what we walked through. But there's a cycle of they would follow God, love God, and they would chase after these other gods. God would allow them judgment to come on them. Then the people would repent, turn to God, and he would rescue them. And they would have about 40 years of good following God, and then they would stop, right? And so there's just this cycle, and they never really began to realize who they were as the people of God. They were always waiting. And then we get to the books of the prophets, where constantly you're seeing these prophets come. And it, like Isaiah, like we read in Isaiah here today, the people who walked in darkness, this is Isaiah speaking to the people, People who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This prophecy that we read here was not for them in the moment. It was for them in the future, and they waited for it. And they hoped in it. You see, they were in a difficult place, in a hard season. The people of Israel were being taken over by the Philistines or other tribes or other people, and they didn't trust God, and they didn't follow through in what they were called to, and they weren't realizing who they were as God's people, and so they waited. They would get prophecies like this, chapter 9, verse 6 in Isaiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." They longed for that. They wanted to see that come, right? And so they waited and they waited. The intertestamental period, okay, the time between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament was about 400 years. We're not sure exactly, different people say different things, but rough and roundabout, it's about 400 years. And so at minimum, they were waiting 400 years. But if we go back all the way up to this prophecy when Isaiah wrote, it could have been as much as 1,100 years from this prophecy until we get to the New Testament. 1,100 years of waiting. 1,100 years of not fully realizing who they were as the people of God. Of seeking after and running after other things rather than God. Does that sound familiar at all? And so we see here in this prophecy, and this is a very popular passage that is read all through probably many, many churches today are reading this passage and talking about this passage. And it's such a beautiful thing because it speaks to us about what is to come and the people of Israel and what they hoped for. So they waited a really long time. See, we struggle to wait more than 2 days for a package to get to our house, right? Thanks, Amazon Prime. Right? If you have Amazon Prime, you can get on Amazon and you can order stuff. But before COVID, you could basically get anything in 2 days. And we've grown into this society that expects immediate gratification. We've lost the art of waiting. We no longer have to wait for things or hope for things because they're at our doorstep in 2 days. See, the Israelites understood it. So there are very few things that I have waited a long time for, but not just waited, but hoped for and longed for. I'm rare in this world as a guy. I've always wanted to get married. It was one of my hopes in life. Most of the time you see, the women are more intentional in the desire to get married. That was always a hope of mine. Was to be married. And I know for a lot of guys it probably is. But I looked at it and I longed for it. And it was something that I waited on for a long time. And God blessed me with an amazing wife. Right? I longed for and waited and hoped for kids. And that was a hard road for our family. There was difficulty in that. But God blessed us with children. Very few things in my life have I had to take a step back and long for and hope for. And I think for many of us, it's the same way because of the society that we live in. Hoping and waiting are connected. When we are waiting for something, we're hoping that it will meet our expectations, right? Or we're hoping that maybe it's not going to be as bad as we think it might. I can remember when I would do something wrong as a kid, which very rarely happened. Some of y'all knew me as a kid. I don't know. Some of you did. All right. But when I did, and I would get in trouble, the inevitable, waiting in my room, my parents would send me to my room, and they would make me wait And I was always hoping it wasn't going to be as bad as I thought it was going to be, but most of the time it was. There was groundings and spankings and all of those things, right? I was hoping for something. I was hoping that it wouldn't be that bad. Or when this season of Christmas rolls around, you begin to look, as a kid, I remember looking through and circling the magazines. I think at that time it was the JCPenney magazine. I don't remember what it was, but we would get this big old magazine full of all the toys, and we would circle around and put our initials of what we want, and I would just hope for that, long for that. I always wanted this one thing. I wanted, one of the biggest things I wanted growing up was a drum set. I wanted to learn to play drums. And so I got a drum set one year for Christmas, and I had longed and I'd waited and I'd hoped for that. I didn't last very long playing the drums, though. So someone else I knew decided he wanted to play drums, so I decided to play guitar. And so that turned out all right, too, though. So, but there's not a lot that I hoped for in life, not like the Israelites were, not like a life-changing, society-altering, world-shaking hope. I might hope for a toy, or I might hope I don't get in as bad of trouble as I think I might get in. But those things are small. Those are little hopes. And there's nothing wrong with hoping for those things. There's nothing wrong with looking forward in expectation for something. But the hope that I'm talking about is hope that will change everything. And that's what the Israelites, when they would hear these prophecies read over them year after year after year, for 1,100 years they heard this prophecy in Isaiah spoken over and read over them, that everything was going to change when this one man came into the world. That's hope. That's what they were looking for and longing for and desiring. They had this deep hope and desire that just came out of their gut and through their body, and just, it was expressed in every part of who they were. And then one day, in the city of Bethlehem, in a stable surrounded by stinky animals, the hope of the world was born. The hope of the world was born. Not just for the Israelites, though. They saw the prophecies and they were very ethnocentric. They thought only of their own people. But God had much grander plans. God's desire for this hope was not just for his people Israel, but that he would make the world his people. That he would bring into relationship all of creation. The hope for the world was realized in the stable. Our salvation was born into the world. Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, who fulfilled all the prophecies. He checked all the boxes. Our Savior, our King, Emmanuel, our hope. And so many people didn't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, but if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, you have to believe the rest of the Bible. And so we look at prophecies like Isaiah, we look here and we see this prophecy of the coming Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, and we hope in that. Our hope is realized because of Jesus' birth. And so we can't, when I was getting ready for this, I wrote this down in my notes, and then I had to think about it for a minute and change it a little bit, but we cannot even begin to fathom what it is like for the generations of Israelites who are waiting on their God to fulfill his promises to them. Or can we? See, we can. I can fathom. I can begin to understand just a little bit. Have a hint of what they were longing for. See, we have this issue, I think, in the West, in America especially, where things are pretty good for the majority of us. There are some people that have it rough. There are some people where things are just, that they have to understand that it gets better than this. But there are a lot of people, I think one of the reasons that Christianity is on the decline in the United States is a lot of people feel like, man, this is it. We're living in utopia now. We're living in the greatest nation on earth, in the greatest time in the world, a lot of people, that is their opinion of our state in the United States today. But I have news for those people. This isn't as good as it gets. And praise God that it's not. You see, we have a hope that we are looking to. Jesus' birth ushered in the first advent. His coming into the world changed everything for us. His life, death, and resurrection bought our salvation and has brought us into relationship with the Father. That is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. That is the greatest hope that's ever been realized to this point. When we begin to understand and believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he would do, he came, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He died the death that we deserved. He rose from the dead on the third day, and he ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God. When we understand that and believe that and follow him in faith, then we get to realize the greatest hope that has ever been realized to this point in this world. And how great is that? But this isn't it. It's not over. From this point forward, we still have hope in something. We still, as followers of Jesus, we must still long for something. Because he has promised to come back. He has promised to gather his people and bring them up to heaven with him to dwell in eternity in the presence of Almighty God, something that we cannot even begin to fathom. World-changing, earth-shaking hope in his second coming, the second advent of Jesus. That is what we now long for. That is what we now hope in. Our hope will be realized, the hope of what is to come, our inheritance, when all the world will be made subject under Jesus. You see, this life, as good as it is, has its pains. This life, as good as it is, has its problems. And many of us can't even begin to understand the difficulty of life because we live in the United States. And I'm very thankful and very grateful that I was born when I was where I was, right? I love it. I love this country, but this is not my home. I love this country, but this is not it. This is not where my allegiance lies. I am a follower of Jesus. He is my King. He is my Lord. He is who I place my hope in. We have a great hope. It is not in a government. It is not in a president. It is in Jesus. And that is it. Period. End of story. If nationalism begins to creep into your hope, you've missed the boat. It's time to reorient and focus on Jesus again. And that's what this is. That's what this Advent season is about. Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? So we celebrate his coming so we can celebrate his second coming. We celebrate his birth, so we celebrate his death and resurrection so one day we can celebrate in heaven with him. And everything in between, our life from the moment of our salvation till we either die in this earthly body or we are brought up into heaven with Jesus before we die, everything in between has got to be lived for Jesus. Period. Because that is where our hope lies, in the person of Jesus Christ. Our hope must not be placed in this world or the things of this world. We have a living hope, a hope that we have not seen with our own eyes, but that we long for and live for and wait for expectantly. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me real quick. See, this, the first Advent is an important thing for us to celebrate and to remember, but I think the second Advent is what keeps us going. Because there are days and seasons where it's hard. There are times when it's difficult and you wonder, why am I still here? Why has God allowed this hard thing or this trial or this difficulty to happen in my life? God, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but we have a hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found that to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, our hope is not placed in anything in this life or anything in this world. Our hope is placed in Jesus, in what he has bought for us with his life. He has bought everything for us. By him saying, I count my life as nothing. I'm going to the cross for these people because I love them so much. I am willing to suffer the pain and the agony and the death on the cross, even more, the separation from God when sin is put upon Jesus. To me, that's the greatest thing, the most difficult thing that Jesus went through. The pain of the cross, yes, very painful. One of the most painful ways that mankind had found to put someone to death was the cross. But even more than that, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, was separated from God the Father for a moment. Never experienced that before, that separation. Because holy God cannot be in the presence of sin. He was separated from God. And to me, thinking on that, that's got to be the most difficult thing that Jesus ever had to endure on the cross, was that separation from God. But he decided, in obedience to the Father, in love for us, that it was worth it. That he was going to buy our salvation with his death. And he would be raised from the dead and ascend into heaven and wait until the Father said, go get your people. And one day we will all rise up with him and we will spend eternity. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in heaven with God, in the presence of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. How amazing is that? What a blessing. What a thing to hope in. As people of God, as followers of Jesus, this is our hope. So now we wait. As God's children, we wait and we hope. We hope in what God has done and in what Jesus has purchased for us. We wait for who he is because of who he is. What a great thing to hope in. Our salvation is secure because of Jesus' first coming. And now we hope in his second coming that will usher in eternity in which we will be in the presence of God forever. That is something to truly hope for. That is something to truly long for and desire. And that is something worth giving our lives for. And I'm not just talking about of giving our life like dying for, but living for. What greater to live for than the person that gave you everything? What greater to live for than this hope that we've been promised? See, the Israelites, they looked back on the promises of God and how he fulfilled all these promises. And so they knew as they were waiting for the birth of their Savior, for the coming of the Messiah, they knew that God would fulfill it because he had promised in the past and he had always come through. And we serve and follow that same God who has promised things in the past and has always fulfilled his promise. And so now we know that as God has promised that he will send his Son for us, we hope in that, and our hope is secure because we know we follow a God who keeps his promises. And so now, as we are called to live as followers of Jesus, as we wait in this hope, how do we live? Well, we live in a way that honors and glorifies God in everything that we say and everything that we do. From the moment that we wake up every morning, we praise God and we live for God, to the moment our head hits the pillow. Everything about who we are is lived for God and for Jesus because of this hope that we have. We are called to be people who live out of this hope and into this hope and wrapped up in this hope. It's such a beautiful thing. As followers of Christ, we've got to remember this. So why do we celebrate Advent? We celebrate the coming of our Savior and the hope of his first Advent and where how that hope was fulfilled, and then the second Advent, and one day it will be. That is where our hope lies. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for God, just this season that we get to celebrate the coming of Jesus. God, we thank you that even in the midst of all of the craziness that the Christmas season brings, God, we get to celebrate the advent of Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful, beautiful thing to hope in. God, and thank you for sending your son as a baby born in a manger in the most unlikely of places, lowly, God, not high, not powerful, God, but just humble, for sending Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life, died in our place, was buried, raised 3 days later, and ascended into heaven. God, thank you for that. But the first Advent and that hope fulfilled. And God, now, for those of us who are your followers, God, I thank you that we get to come and we get to wake up every morning and remember that hope and remember, God, just what you have done for us. God, I pray that it will help us every day to remember the coming of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, the gospel. God, that we will remember the gospel and it will point us to the second coming of Jesus and the hope that we have for that. God, that one day this world will pass away and we will be with you for eternity. God, let us hope in that and let us live for that. That hope should change the way we live our lives, should change the decisions that we make. It should change everything about who we are because we are no longer the same person as before. And we are a new creation. The old is past, behold, the new has come, and now we live for the hope that is to come. God, let that be who we are. Let that be, God, who people see us as. God, as your followers, as people who are committed to living lives that honor and glorify you, looking forward to the hope that we have. God, and for those who this season don't know you, or maybe their hearts are far from you, God, would we be a people who bring, God, everything into perspective? God, let us be a people who help others see that this first Advent that we celebrate in this season changed everything. God, let us be people who, God, will help others see Jesus in the midst of all of the busyness and the craziness of the season. God, let us point others to you so that they can receive the same fulfilled hope that we have, God, and have the hope that is to come. And we love you, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus, God, and we hope in you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.